Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Johnny Mathis will be performing at the Palace Theater in Albany tomorrow night, and we are thrilled to have him with us this morning. His accomplishments are numerous and varied, and he has set many precedents in the music industry. In 1958, Johnny's Greatest Hits was released and began a greatest hits tradition copied by every other record company since then. Johnny's Greatest Hits became one of the most popular albums of all time, spending an unprecedented 490 continuous weeks, better known as almost 10 years, on the Billboard Top Albums charts. Mathis is one of only five recording artists to have top 40 hits spanning each of the four decades since 1955. He has received two Grammy nominations, was given the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences in 2004, and 2006 marked his 50th anniversary as a recording artist. Again, he'll be at the Palace Theater in Albany tomorrow night, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Johnny Mathis to the Roundtable. Thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Wow, I did all that.
You did all that. Does it feel like you did all that?
No, it feels like I was talking to my dad not too long ago, and we were looking for a voice teacher. And we found a few, but all they wanted to do was have you sing to pre-recorded music. And I didn't think much of that, and my dad didn't either. So, but eventually we found a wonderful lady who taught me for about 6 years. And that was the beginning of my love for music, and also, fortunately, the fact that my voice has held up over the years.
How much of a concern was that in your life, and even still, that the voice is held up, that it's there? I mean, obviously it's an instrument and you take care of it, but I assume it is a concern.
It's a concern, I think, with every person who's ever sung. I remember speaking to one of my vocal icons, Beverly Sills, and she stopped singing at an early age. I think she was only 50 when she stopped singing because she just didn't like the way it sounded anymore. And it is a concern that that we all live with. And as I have done, because I've had a really good beginning vocal training, I've been able to modulate my voice so that I don't have to abuse it, and also the technical quality of microphones has improved so much over the years that I literally just open my mouth and the mic takes over from there. It helps a great deal. Of course, it doesn't cure everything, but it certainly helps me.
I was interested in, when you first started, you talked about those early voice lessons, but there was a thought in your mind that originally you wanted to go into Broadway and in going into the stage, and it was really your agent that said, no, you could be a name for yourself.
You know, when you're young, you have all sorts of ambitions, I guess. I wanted to sing, and I wanted to sing everything. And when I left San Francisco and went to New York, made my first recording, I started to hang out with people like Larry Kurt, Cheetah Rivera, who were starring in West Side Story on Broadway, and got a chance to meet a few other people, Julie Andrews, etc., on her way to My Fair Lady. And, of course, I said, well, that would be fun, too. But before all that happened, I got involved with Mitch Miller at Columbia Records, and he took me in a direction which suited my voice, I think. But over the years, I've got a chance to realize all my vocal ambitions sing a lot of an awful lot of Broadway music.
I've heard you talk about your influences, of course, Mitch Miller being one of them, but another being Nat King Cole. And I guess it was Nat King Cole who Because you obviously you can hear the similarities, and but the eclectic repertoire that you both have seems to be another trait that you have in common.
Yeah, Nat was my hero, not only vocally, but artistically, musically. He played piano. I mean, I remember talking to Oscar Peterson about Nat Cole's piano playing, and he was in love with that piano that Nat played. And of course, I loved that he sang. He sang effortlessly, and he sang very relaxed. And over the years, I was never able to emulate that. But I did get this wonderful feeling of enjoying the music while you were singing it that Nat seemed to have. He had a very small vocal range. I had a big one and still have a very large vocal range. And sometimes it gets me into trouble because I'll over-vocalize when, in fact, I should keep it simple. But Nat King Cole... And as I mentioned, not only a great vocalist, but he was a wonderful, very kind man. He played a big part in my life as far as how to greet the public that you're going to meet, and also how to be a gentleman in public society, as well as someone that is a celebrity.
And I assume you need these people along the way to kind of guide you as a young performer, to show you the way, because you're groundbreaking, you're doing things that have never been done, and yet there's people there that sort of can guide you and help you and put you on the right track.
Absolutely. And the ones that you fall in love with are the ones that influence you the most, I think. And fortunately... so many of the performers that I listened to were absolutely wonderful people who enjoyed being around me. The ones that come to mind are Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan. Lena Horne was very kind to me. I must tell the public that the reason that I started to emulate these different people was that I to go to a jazz club in San Francisco called the Black Hawk. Mm. At a very early age, my dad and my brothers took me from the age of 12, 13 years old when on Sunday afternoon when they didn't serve liquor so young people could come in. And I listened. All these great artists, Duke Ellington, Sammy Davis, all of them came through San Francisco and performed at this small jazz club. And I got to meet some of them and became lifelong friends with them over the years after my career started. And I emulated the ones that I really liked. I thought Ella Fitzgerald was the greatest lady in the world and absolutely, you know, delight to be around. And yet she was like one of the greatest vocalists that ever lived. And it's something that stayed with me all these years. And I hope that somehow my personality has impressed some young people so that they'll know that it's important to keep that aspect of your life as well.
I don't make a lot out of labels, but I'm curious as to your thoughts on the term crooner.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those 1940 words, isn't it? Sinatra, Bing Crosby come to mind. It used to be kind of a nice little sort of softening the blow of a man who sang romantic songs, I think, perhaps. What do you think?
No, it sounds good. But I mean, is it something that you embrace or that you try to stay away from?
Crooner.
Mm. Yeah.
Groaner. I guess I croon once in a while. Spoon to the moon. Yeah, I guess so.
When you so you're coming to the palace, you've been going around. I mean, you pretty much there really never been a point where you've been off the road, has there?
I had a little vocal problem at one point I think I overdid the tutelage. In other words, I went to a vocal coach and decided that I was having problems singing, and I eventually it evolved around the fact that I was just tired and wasn't getting enough nutrition and I wasn't singing well, and I decided to go to a vocal coach and say, you know, what's going on? And we worked together for about a month or so, and I evidently, I don't know, strained something. And I remember the first concert that I had booked was with the Dallas Symphony, and I showed up at the rehearsal and couldn't sing. And that was about 12 years ago. And so I stopped the vocal lessons at the age of 70, I guess. Yeah.
But this life on the road is something that is routine for you. It is regular. You are out performing a lot. And we can take from that while you may not enjoy the travel aspect of it, that the image of going from town to town and sharing your music is something that you enjoy.
I do. It gives you an opportunity to make up for the mistakes that you've made. It's a learning process. I don't think you ever achieve what you want, but the process itself is ongoing. And I enjoy meeting people, and especially during the beginning of my career, I wasn't quite sure who my listeners were, who listened to my music. And now, at this point in my life, in my travels, I get to meet those people. And in fact, they tell me how many years that they've been listening to my music and how much some of it has meant to them. It's a great deal of gratification for me. I love hearing that. That it means a great deal to me, and it gives me confidence to continue to sing, because it just might mean something to someone. Yeah.
And having been to one of your shows not that long ago, your audience age range is incredibly broad.
A lot of the parents bring along the youngsters, and it's amazing that the repertoire that I sing, they're unfamiliar with. Just ordinary songs from Broadway musicals, from films, and what have you. And the kids get really excited. They think they've heard, some new stuff. And it's kind of fun. But listening to the radio today is pretty traumatic for me. I wish I could understand vocally and musically a little bit more about it. But I tend to fall back and listen to people who vocalize, and it gives me a great deal of satisfaction to know that all these recordings, especially now in the digital type of world that we live in, we're able to pull up these magnificent singers and voices over the years who have long gone by, and I listen to them with fascination, and I learn a lot about music that I would eventually, and sometimes I've eventually sing. There's songs, wonderful songs to be discovered, and that's always a delight for me.
Well, Johnny Mathis will be performing at the Palace Theater in Albany tomorrow night at 8 p.m. PalaceAlbany.com for more information. Again, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, palacealbany.com. Johnny Mathis, a delight to have you on the program. I thank you very much, and we look forward to having you in town as always.
Thank you, too.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Johnny Mathis will be at the Palace Theater in Albany, New York, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, palacealbany.com for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.